Altogether, Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and he was gathered to his people. Today we are returning to our series on Genesis and the lives of the patriarchs being Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and we may get as far as Joseph as well. We'll see how we do this year. We started with Genesis chapter 12 with the call of Abram, and this we believe in our church was the beginning of what you might call real history in the Bible. Before that it was more like mythic history that was constructed to tell a spiritual message, but not that took place literally. Whereas the events from Genesis 12 onward were speaking of real people. Now perhaps the fish got a little bigger over time as the story was told, but these are based on true events. And Abraham, we believe, was a real person, as were his sons, Ishmael and Isaac and the others. And of course, Jacob and his 12 sons, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Abraham, from the time of the call of Abram in Genesis 12, has gone through a number of travels. He's gone from the land of Babylon to up to the land of Haran, and then down to the Holy Land. He's traveled to Egypt and back again, and he has finally settled into the land by this time. His son Isaac has found a wife, and of course his wife Sarah, whom he loved very much, clearly from the story, has since died. And today we have the story of Isaac, of another wife that Abraham took, named Keturah, by whom he had a number of sons, and also the genealogy of his firstborn son, Ishmael, who was born to him by his wife Sarah's maidservant, Hagar. It's all a little bit complicated, and you have to read the story a few times to really get the idea of what's going on. But the centerpiece, of course, of our story for today is that Abraham has come to the end of his life here on earth. He's lived a long and full life. He's passed the torch on to his son Isaac, who will carry on the family tradition, and now it is time, in the picturesque biblical phrase, for him to be gathered to his people. And if anybody thinks that those people in ancient times didn't believe that there was an afterlife where their families went before them, just that one phrase should tell the story. He was gathered to his people. He was going to those he knew, to his brother, his brothers who had died before him, to his parents, to those who loved him and who were part of his early life. So this is the passing of an era. In many ways, it was a golden mythic era, not quite like those early days of the Garden of Eden, and yet the time of Abraham was a time of simple trust, of Abraham simply hearing the word of the Lord and doing it. He was not a complicated man. God told him to get up and go, he got up and went. God told him to sacrifice his son, he was ready to do it when God restrained him. He simply followed the word of God as he heard it within himself in his heart. This was a simple golden era in the early time of the Israelitish people. Now we are following these stories in this series on two different levels. It is our church's belief that these stories are not only about the histories and lives of people who lived long ago, people who lived several thousand years ago, but that as God's word they must have a meaning for us today as well, and that that meaning is hidden within. Jesus, when he was on earth, spoke in parables. It said that he didn't speak without using a parable. And we believe that that is the way that God speaks to us in the Bible, through parables that have deeper meanings. And we've been following the deeper meanings of these stories on two different levels, the level of our own inner spiritual growth, and also the level of the Lord's inner process while he was on earth, which we call glorification. Because we believe that the Lord Jesus was the pattern for all of us, and if so, that he must have gone through what we go through, and yet at a far deeper level. And so the Lord's story is our story. Now the earlier golden age represented by the Garden of Eden, as I said, was a different golden age. That is a truly mythic time, and in our lives it represents the time of our early infancy. We don't, most of us anyway, have any memories of that early time of infancy. It's a time that's buried in our past. We would have to ask our parents or our aunts and uncles about what things were like during those times, because for us, the memories are shrouded. They're no longer there, and yet they were formative periods in our life. Abraham does not represent that time in our life. That time is represented by the Garden of Eden. But as we enter into our early childhood, as we become toddlers, we begin to come to the point where we do have memories. We remember what's going on, and these are the times when our earliest memories are formed, when we're perhaps 2 or 3 years old. And our life then is very simple. At least it seems so to us. It's complicated to our parents, of course. They have to worry about taking care of us and all of that, and there are events always going on in the world. But for us, it's a simple time when our parents take care of us, and we just live from the heart. And this is more the golden era that Abraham represents in our life, those early times of our first memories when we're very spontaneous and open, and we just live the way we feel, and others take care of us, just as the Lord took care of Abraham and his needs. Now, it'd be nice if we could all stay in that golden age and be little children and just be joyous and not worry about the things of this world, but we do grow up. We move beyond that stage. We head into our older childhood, our youth, and we begin to realize that the world is a lot more complicated than we thought it was. First, we go to school. That's a big adjustment for many of us. You see the kindergartners, and they don't want to go. Some of them do, but often they're clinging to their mothers. Do I have to, Mom? I don't want to. And it's a big change. That early innocence of being almost in the womb of the family is no longer there, and now we're beginning to go out into the world. An era has passed in our life, just as an era was passing in the life of the patriarchs, of those early forebears of the Israelitish people, when Abraham breathed his last and died and passed on the torch to his son Isaac. And as we grow from that early stage when we're spontaneous and ruled by the heart, we come to a time when we must be ruled more by our head. We must think about our actions. We must learn what's right and wrong. We must apply those, and we must feel the consequence when we don't do what we ought to. It's a time often of struggle and learning that we go through, and it's a time represented by Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael, a more thoughtful stage. And just to look a little bit farther into the future, when we get to Jacob, which we will very soon, this represents a time when we're even passing from youth into young adulthood, and we realize, I'm not even going to be taken care of by my parents anymore. Now it's time for me to roll up my sleeves and work and make my way in this world on my own. And so we pass through these stages from that early, spontaneous, heart-centered time to a time of learning, to a time in young adulthood when we must start to apply all that we've learned and get out there and support ourselves and make our way in the world. And we often have some nostalgia for those early times. We think back to the time of our childhood and think, if only things could be that way now, if only things were so simple, and yet they're not. To use another example that many of us have experienced and some of us are embarking upon, it's a little bit like a marriage. When we first get to know this person, we meet somebody and we feel an attraction. There's a spark. And we want to get to know this person. We come together with them and we find that we're wonderfully attracted. We feel alive. We feel, this is the one, and now my life has new meaning. And all of a sudden, everything seems to be opening up to us and a whole new phase is beginning in our life. And it's wonderful. And we have this thing called the honeymoon, where we can enjoy one another. And it's a good time to have. It's a time that in all our later lives we can look back to and draw strength from as we face the issues that we do together. And yet we all know, those of us who have been through it or are going through it, that early honeymoon period does not last forever. Some manage to hold on to it a little longer than others. But sooner or later, we begin to notice that wart that's right there on the face of our partner. And our partner notices the mole that's right there. And I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. We begin to notice that this person that we're with is really not perfect. And they begin to notice that we're not perfect. And we begin to rub against each other and chafe in a way that we didn't at first when we were falling in love. And now we pass from that time of early innocence of when our heart was leading to a time when we have to work on that marriage, when if we want to be together, We have to recognize that I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, and that means that we have to change and grow. That means that we have to struggle, and that our life is not always going to be easy living together. We sometimes, in later life, look back at those early times together and wish we could be back there, and yet we grow into a fuller period, a time when we're becoming more mature and when we are really learning to love each other on a deeper level than we ever have before. At first it was all excitement. Now we're beginning to look within and see the deeper aspects of one another and find where we need to grow together. And so it's the end of an era, but it is the beginning of a new era. Now all of this also relates to our spiritual life. Each of us that has made a decision to give our life over to the Lord in one way or another, to commit our life to the church or to the spiritual way of living, probably had an early time when it was very exciting to be turning over this new leaf in our life, to be beginning a new and deeper life, and we thought with enthusiasm, this is going to be the new me, this is going to be my new life. And we soaked it up from the church. We really wanted to hear the Bible and learn about the church and to learn about spiritual things, and everything was fresh and new to us. This is the time of Abraham in our spiritual life, when everything is new and when we're simply following the Lord as He leads us. And yet we all know that as we progress, just as in marriage, just as in life, we begin to hit snags in our spiritual life. We begin to realize, you know, the church says that I'm to love my neighbor as myself, and I don't really love my neighbor as myself. I still care more about me than I do about them. And we realize that we have to face these issues in our lives and struggle with them. We have to not just be led by the heart, but have our head tell us, this about me is not quite right, and I need to change it and work on it. And this is the period of passing from Abraham to Isaac in our spiritual life, passing from that early excitement and heart-led embracing of a spiritual way of life to the realization that this is going to mean an awful lot of work for us. And so it is the end of an era, and yet it's the beginning of a new one. And in the Lord's life, I believe it was just the same. As Jesus grew up, He also had an early period. We know that He learned the scriptures thoroughly from the way He could quote them later on. And so we can think of Him as a young boy doing two things that we know of. One is studying the scriptures and soaking them up and learning all that wonderful old ancient wisdom. And at the same time, being under his father, who is a carpenter, and learning a simple good trade. If any of you have ever done any woodworking, there's a lot of satisfaction in cutting the wood and planing it and sanding it and putting it together and constructing something. And so we can think of Jesus in his early life soaking up like a young child and living from the heart. And yet he came to a time when he realized, I have greater things that I must do with this life. And that's going to mean the passing of that old innocent time and the beginnings of a time of greater struggle and effort. And we can look to the Lord's life as we go through these passages and realize the Lord went before us, and He went through everything that we go through, and He showed us the way. And His way was to face those inner issues, to struggle against the evil, and to overcome both for Himself and for all of us. And I believe that that gives us the pattern for our lives as well. It's hard to leave behind that old, more innocent time when things were simpler in our life and when everything seemed to just move along. It's hard to leave that behind, and yet we know that we have to become adults. We have to face the inner demons, and we have to face the issues in this world around us. There's a passing of the era from Abraham to Isaac. It's hard to face the death of that old, heartfelt, innocent idealism, but the Lord has something ahead for us as well. He does not want us just to go through struggle and toil in this life for nothing, but He gives us a wonderful promise as well. That promise is the promise that He gave to Abraham when He first gave him the call in Genesis 12, that if you will follow me, I will bring you into the land that I will show you, the land that we know of as Canaan, or the Holy Land. that if you will go through the struggle, if you will face the issues, if you will work them out, whether in your marriage or in your own life or in your working life, if you will face and work on those issues and struggle through, I have a wonderful promise for you, says the Lord, that you will find yourself settled in the Holy Land. And that Holy Land for marriage is a truly joyful and happy marriage where we can be together as one and support each other through all those years. That Holy Land for us is a time when we can come to realize that all the struggle that we have done is worth it. Everything that we have done to overcome those inner and outer obstacles has been leading us on a path that only the Lord knew, but now we are finding out. Because the Lord is building each one of us into heavenly angels, people who can be loving toward one another, who can feel the Lord's love inside of ourselves, and who can be part of the heavenly community.